There are times when I just feel like sitting and listening. First, Sachinandan Maharaj spoke so wonderfully. Then Dhanudhar Maharaj and Burijan Prabhu. All the presentations were so brilliant. Didn't you feel like that it would just, they wouldn't stop but continue speaking? And I feel guilty for being the cause of interruption. When Sachinandan Maharaj was speaking, one point came very strongly to me, that he was speaking about Srila Prabhupada's implicit faith on the holy name. That reminded me of one incident. Srila Prabhupada had a very wonderful godbrother, Srila Krishnadas Babaji Maharaj. He was just one of the very few Babajis of Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati, among Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur's disciples. But he was a very, very wonderful devotee and very simple, and he also had implicit faith in the holy name. All the time he would just chant, wherever he was, he would just chant, and he was always laughing. One day, he told me that he often used to, fortunately, I was very fortunate to have a lot of affection from him. And he used to come to me, sometimes he even stayed in my room, in Mayapur. And one night, he was speaking about Srila Prabhupada, and he was telling about one encounter he had with one of his other godbrothers, who was also very scholarly. He also went to the West. He also was an erudite speaker, and he also had a very deep command over English language. And he told him, "You are so scholarly, so is Swami Maharaj." He used to address Srila Prabhupada as Swami Maharaj. You also have such a wonderful command over English language. You also are a very powerful preacher. You also went to the West to preach. But why Swami Maharaj is so successful and you are not? And then he told him that it's because of his implicit faith on the holy name. And we saw Srila Prabhupada, all he had as his most profound spiritual asset was his faith in the holy name. He went to America. He just went to the Tompkins Square Park. So Prabhupada just, when he went to America, all he did is went to the Tompkins Square Park and started to chant. When he got the 26 Second Avenue, the small little storefront, and started his preaching movement there, Prabhupada simply chanted Although he used to give Bhagavad Gita classes in the evening, but devotees who came to meet Srila Prabhupada or came to this program of Srila Prabhupada, they simply were attracted to Srila Prabhupada's chanting. And it is through this chanting of this Hare Krishna Maha Mantra that Srila Prabhupada established this movement with a very profound slogan, chant Hare Krishna and be happy. Srila Prabhupada gave the simple formula to everybody in this world how to become happy. Everybody wants to become happy, but nobody knows how to become happy. But Srila Prabhupada showed them how to become happy. Just chant Hare Krishna and be happy. So today we are celebrating Srila Prabhupada's disappearance day. This morning in Krishna Balaram temple, when we are having this Viraha Mahotsav program, one of our godbrother very profoundly said that this day of disappearance makes him most conscious of Srila Prabhupada. So this is not a day when Srila Prabhupada disappeared, but this is a day when Srila Prabhupada actually appeared to us, to be with us all the time, provided we are willing to receive his mercy. Yesterday I was speaking on Srila Prabhupada, and it came to a point I was describing how Srila Prabhupada came to Vrindavan, why Srila Prabhupada came to Vrindavan, and what Srila Prabhupada was doing in Vrindavan those days. But I did not go into the final pastimes of Srila Prabhupada. And later on, one devotee was asking me, why didn't you describe Srila Prabhupada? Why didn't you tell us? Because you were there. And I was telling that actually that's a thing that I generally don't feel like describing, because it's in a way it's a little painful to remember those days. But this devotee was telling that I heard that Srila Prabhupada, even by leaving his body, he taught us how to prepare ourselves for that moment. All throughout, Srila Prabhupada had been instructing us. All throughout, Srila Prabhupada had been teaching us. And Srila Prabhupada even taught us till the last moment on this planet. Therefore, today, when Radhanath Maharaj wanted me to speak, I was telling him that I would maybe discuss about those final days of Srila Prabhupada. I joined ISKCON quite late. I think in that way, from that calculation, I'm the youngest devotee here. Because I came very, very late. I came, Prabhupada left this planet in 77, and I joined this movement in 1976. Those days, Srila Prabhupada had thousands of followers, and devotees were dying to have a moment of Prabhupada's association. And although I came so late, I had the good fortune of being with Srila Prabhupada practically 24 hours a day. And that enabled me to travel with Srila Prabhupada, and I was serving him as his personal servant. I was serving him as his secretary for Indian affairs. And Srila Prabhupada also gave me the service during our first meeting to translate his books into Bengali. So all this actually enabled me, allowed me to be with Srila Prabhupada practically all the time. Srila Prabhupada was in Bombay, and some old acquaintances of Srila Prabhupada, who are very important people, one was the ex-governor of Madras and his brother-in-law, who was the chairman of a very renowned industry called Bajaj Industries. They were brothers-in-law, Sriman Narayan and Ramkrishna Bajaj. One day they came to meet Srila Prabhupada, and they requested Srila Prabhupada, seeing that Srila Prabhupada's health condition was quite frail at that time. So they suggested that Prabhupada went to Rishikesh. So Prabhupada liked the idea, and these two individuals, they're very influential people. So they arranged for Srila Prabhupada one of the most beautiful houses in Rishikesh those days, a house called Ganga Darshan, right on the bank of the river Ganges. So Prabhupada went there, and three of us traveled with him, Tamal Krishna Maharaj, Upendra Prabhu, and myself. And a few other devotees were already there. Trivikram Maharaj was there. Pramana Swami and Biraha Prakash Swami also were there. They were making the arrangements for making the place comfortable for Srila Prabhupada. So, Prabhupada was there, but after a few days, Prabhupada was not feeling very well. And at night, Srila Prabhupada, while I was attending him from 12 to 2 o'clock at night, Prabhupada called me and told me that the time has come for him to leave the planet, and he wanted to leave his body in Vrindavan. And he asked, please make arrangements for me to go to Vrindavan immediately. So this, hearing Srila Prabhupada speak like this was such a shocking experience. I was practically trembling, and I ran down the stairs, ran into Tamal Krishna Maharaj's room and woke him up and told him what Srila Prabhupada said. Tamal Krishna Maharaj also jumped out of his bed and ran upstairs and went to Srila Prabhupada, and Prabhupada told him the same thing. The time has come for me to leave the planet. I want to leave my body in Vrindavan, so please make arrangements for me to go to Vrindavan. So that night only we packed everything. In the morning we left. We came to Delhi. That night Prabhupada stayed in Delhi. And then the next morning Srila Prabhupada went to Vrindavan. I think at that time Burijan Prabhu and Dhanudhar Maharaj also, you are not there. Yeah, Dhanudhar Maharaj, I remember, he was there at that time in Vrindavan. Devotees just heard that Srila Prabhupada was coming. They were so ecstatic. Srila Prabhupada is coming. All of a sudden, Prabhupada came to Vrindavan. Hundreds of devotees gathered there, and they were greeting Srila Prabhupada. And then, thank you, Maharaj. Sorry. Then Prabhupada had the darshan of the deities, and then he went to his quarters in Vrindavan. All the devotees followed. Prabhupada came to his darshan room, and there Prabhupada announced why he came. The devotees were so ecstatic that Prabhupada came to Vrindavan all of a sudden, practically unannounced. But when they got to know why Srila Prabhupada came to Vrindavan, they were so heartbroken. I could see many devotees started to cry, as if their ecstasy just turned into agony. Prabhupada quoted that verse from Bhagavad Gita, Dehi Nashmin Jatha Dehi. And he explained that this is the reality. Tatha Dehantara Praptir. At some point we have to give up our body, we have to leave our body. Dhiras Tatra Namuihati. And a person who is situated in transcendental knowledge, he doesn't become overwhelmed with this happenings of changing of the bodies. And then when everyone left, Srila Prabhupada called me and told me, from now on you don't cook for me and don't force me to eat anything. What's the use of eating when there is no appetite? It was something like an ultimatum that Prabhupada was giving. Don't cook for me. Those days I used to cook for Srila Prabhupada, and sometimes I used to persuade Srila Prabhupada to eat. But now Prabhupada is saying, don't cook for me and don't force me to eat anything. What's the use of eating when there is no appetite? I went and told Tamal Krishna Maharaj that Prabhupada spoke like that. And Tamal Krishna Maharaj also felt very helpless, and he told me what to do when Prabhupada speaks like that. We feel so helpless, because now we can't force Srila Prabhupada to eat. And it appeared as if Srila Prabhupada was going to leave his body without eating and without drinking. I remembered Parikshit Maharaj, when he was preparing himself to leave this planet, when he got to know that within 7 days he'll have to leave this body. He went to the bank of Jamuna and stopped eating and sleeping. Just that is called prayopavesan. Prepare, sitting down to leave one's body. And Prabhupada stopped eating. And the news already spread all over the world that Srila Prabhupada came to Vrindavan to leave his body. Actually, when we stopped in Delhi, Tamal Krishna Maharaj called up Adi Keshav Maharaj, and Adi Keshav Maharaj informed the leading devotees all over the world about Prabhupada's arrival in Vrindavan and the purpose of his coming to Vrindavan. So within a short while, many devotees came to Vrindavan, leading devotees, and they had a meeting. And they decided that Srila Prabhupada is a pure devotee of Krishna. Therefore, whatever Srila Prabhupada wants, Krishna will fulfill that desire of Srila Prabhupada. So if Srila Prabhupada wanted to leave, rather, if Prabhupada wanted to live, if Srila Prabhupada wanted to stay on, then Krishna will allow him to, Krishna will let him stay. And they also concluded that we are so young, if Srila Prabhupada leaves at this time, what will happen to us? So they came to Prabhupada's room and they presented this conclusion of their meeting. And I remember Kirtananda Swami was the spokesman of the devotees, and he was telling Prabhupada that, "Prabhupada, we are so young, and if you leave us now, we'll become orphans. What will happen to us?" And while speaking like that, he broke down crying. And Srila Prabhupada put his hands on his head and told him, "Well, if you all want me to stay, then I will stay." And everybody was so ecstatic. They just chanted, "Hari Bol." Prabhupada started to eat again. I was asked to cook for him again. And one day, after Srila Prabhupada took his lunch, he asked me whether I knew where Gopinath Bazaar was. So that was my first visit to Vrindavan. So I didn't even step out of our ISKCON temple boundary. And I told that to Srila Prabhupada. "Prabhupada, I don't know where Gopinath Bazaar is, but I can find out where it is." Then Prabhupada said, "Go to Gopinath Bazaar, and there is an Ayurvedic doctor called Banamali Kaviraj. So you go and tell him that I'm not very well, I need some treatment, and he will remember me. Tell him that I used to live in Radha Damodar temple, and sometimes he used to come and treat me." I didn't have to tell him all that. You know, when I mentioned that I was coming from Srila Prabhupada, he immediately recognized. But Banamali Kaviraj at that time was a very old man. Prabhupada at that time was 82 years old, but Banamali Kaviraj was 92 years old. And so I told him that Prabhupada wanted him to treat him. So Banamali Kaviraj said, "Look, then he'll have to come here, because I don't go anywhere. I can't go anywhere." So I persuaded, I begged him that please come. And so finally he agreed, and I took him to Srila Prabhupada. And there Srila Prabhupada, he treated Srila Prabhupada. And after that, after treating Srila Prabhupada, he told me, "The problem is, this medicine that I'll give has to be prepared freshly. And so what to do?" So I said, "We can arrange for you to stay in the guest house." So he said, no, I can't stay in the guest house. I have to go home." Then I told him, "Then you can show me how to make that medicine. Then I can make it and give it to Srila Prabhupada." So he liked that idea. So he took me to the field. Probably remember those days around Krishna Balaram temple at the back, it was all open field. And there were some big houses with lot of land. So he took me to the field and he showed me some herbs. Two herbs. One is called Pathar Kuchi and the other is called Punarnava. And he picked those leaves from those two plants and crushed them, extracted the juice from those two leaves, and then he added two different salts. One was white and the other was pink. And he showed me how to make it. First time he made it, he showed me how to make it. And he told that three times a day we have to give that medicine. And he started to treat Srila Prabhupada. Every day I used to pick him up. I used to take Prabhupada's car and pick him up, and he used to come and treat Srila Prabhupada. And Prabhupada's condition started to improve. But when Prabhupada's condition improved, then Prabhupada wanted to leave and go to the West. Prabhupada I told Banamali Kaviraj that Prabhupada is planning to go to the West. He said, please don't let him go now. This medicine is working, and in winter, I will give him Makaradhaj, which will build him up, and by the time his body will become stronger, and the cold of the winter also will help him retain this Makaradhaj. From his description, it seemed that Makaradhaj was a very powerful medicine. And so I told that to Tamal Krishna Maharaj, that Banamali Kaviraj is suggesting that Prabhupada didn't leave, and he continued to treat him, and in a few months Prabhupada's condition will become normal. But Tamal Krishna Maharaj said, look, what can we do? It's Prabhupada who wanted to leave, and you know how it is, when Prabhupada wants something, nobody can stop him. And Prabhupada also, I could also hear Prabhupada speaking things, saying things like, a warrior doesn't want to leave his body, or warrior doesn't want to die on his bed. For a warrior to die on his bed is a disgrace. For a warrior is desirable to die on the battlefield. So Prabhupada's statement used to make statements like that, that he wanted to, he didn't like to stay on bed, lie on bed, and so he wanted to go to the West. So eventually the arrangement was made for Prabhupada to leave India. The plan was that Prabhupada would go to London, and from London he would go to New York, from New York to Gitanagari, Gitanagari to Los Angeles, Los Angeles to Hawaii. And in Hawaii, Prabhupada wanted to translate his books. And so Prabhupada left. At the middle of the night, Prabhupada actually had to drive to Delhi because the flight was early in the morning. So Prabhupada was all dressed up, ready to leave, and I was sitting at his feet in his room. So Prabhupada asked me, aren't you coming? So I told Prabhupada, no Prabhupada, I didn't have my passport with me. Then Prabhupada said, okay, then you join me in Hawaii. And the next morning, Srila Prabhupada left for London. I think that's the time you all came to see him, because many devotees from all over Europe came to meet Srila Prabhupada in London. Prabhupada spent the Janmashtami there at that time, and also he spent his Vaspuja in London. But unfortunately, when Prabhupada was in London, his health condition deteriorated, and he also had a minor operation there. And as a result of that, Srila Prabhupada had to come back. Prabhupada decided to come back to India. He came first to Bombay and then to Vrindavan. I didn't know that Srila Prabhupada came back to India. I was in Mayapur at that time. One afternoon, I was giving a class to a group of new bhaktas. Then I received a telegram saying, come to Vrindavan immediately. Prabhupada wants you to come to Vrindavan immediately. It was a telegram sent by Tamal Krishna Maharaj. So I just left and came to Vrindavan the next day. And I arrived in Vrindavan in the evening. Tamal Krishna Maharaj told me that Prabhupada was taking rest. So I thought, since Prabhupada was taking rest, I wouldn't go to his room. And I was sitting at Tamal Krishna Maharaj's office, just next to Prabhupada's room. And then Upendra Prabhu, who was Prabhupada's servant at that time, Upendra Prabhu came out And when he saw me, he was very happy to see me. And he said, come in. Come inside. So we went to Srila Prabhupada's room. And I saw that Prabhupada was lying on his bed. I could see that Prabhupada's body became so thin. Like already Prabhupada's body was quite emaciated. But now it seemed to be very, very frail, very, very thin. And at one point, Srila Prabhupada woke up coughing. So Upendra immediately went to attend him. And then he told Prabhupada that I came. So Prabhupada told him to ask me to come to him. So I went to Prabhupada and Prabhupada told me that he would like to sit up. So I helped him. While I was helping him to sit up, I could see that Prabhupada's body became so thin. And I told him, Prabhupada, you became so thin. And Prabhupada said, yes, now this body is just a set of bones in a bag of skin. Prabhupada became so emaciated. But still, Prabhupada's spirit was so high. When Prabhupada would speak, you couldn't make out that Prabhupada physically was so frail and weak. Many of you probably recall that Prabhupada was still translating. Prabhupada was lying on his bed. He was so weak that he couldn't even turn to his side by himself. We had to help him to turn him very tenderly, very carefully. Because if we are not careful, then Prabhupada would feel pain. But even in that condition, Prabhupada was continuing to translate. And Tamal Krishna Maharaj used to encourage him, Prabhupada, today you have done so much translation that in the dictaphone you count the numbers. Points. So, and Tamal Krishna Maharaj would say, Prabhupada, today you translated 350 points. and in this way, and Prabhupada used to be quite happy to hear that the translation, that he was continuing his translation even in that condition. Many of you may have seen the video that Pradyumna Prabhu used to read the Sanskrit verse from Srimad Bhagavatam. Prabhupada was translating the 13th and 14th chapters of the 10th canto at that time. And one of us used to hold the microphone close to Srila Prabhupada's mouth. Pradyumna Prabhu, Prabhupada's Sanskrit editor, used to read the verses. And Prabhupada used to give the translation and his Bhaktivedanta purport. Even a few days before leaving his body, Srila Prabhupada translated in that way. One day Srila Prabhupada told us that he had a dream that a Ramanuji Kaviraj means an Ayurvedic doctor, an Ayurvedic doctor from Ramanuja Sampradaya was preparing Makaradhaj for him. So this Makaradhaj is the same medicine that Banamali Kaviraj also suggested that he would give to Srila Prabhupada. So Tamal Krishna Maharaj told me to go and look around Vrindavan if we can find any Ramanuji Kaviraj. So I looked around, there is a Ramanuja temple, Srirangam temple, that's the place I went first. And I went around all over Vrindavan in search of a Ramanuji Kaviraj, but couldn't find one. And then Adridharan Prabhu, who was the temple president of Calcutta at that time, he reported that he found a Ramanuja Kaviraj from Calcutta who is willing to come. And so he himself brought this Ayurvedic doctor. His name was Damodar Prasad Shastri. And he started to treat Srila Prabhupada. He was giving us all high hopes that Prabhupada's condition will become all right. But unfortunately, Prabhupada's condition didn't improve. It started to deteriorate. Then one morning, Ramanuja, Damodar Prasad Shastri, he used to speak, he didn't speak English, he used to speak in Hindi, and I used to translate that to other devotees, mainly Tamal Krishna Maharaj and Bhavananda Maharaj, who are also taking care of Srila Prabhupada at that time. And so Damodar Prasad Shastri told me that morning that for about 12 hours Srila Prabhupada did not pass urine, and if he did not pass urine, then probably within 12 hours, no, he actually said 14 hours, I remember. It was around 5 o'clock in the morning that he told me that in about 14 hours' time, Srila Prabhupada will leave his body. The consideration was to use a catheter and make Prabhupada pass urine. But Tamal Krishna Maharaj recalled that Prabhupada very strongly instructed us that nothing should penetrate his body. Prabhupada told that no injection, there shouldn't be any needle piercing his body or anything should penetrate his body. But Tamal Krishna Maharaj was quite hesitant to make any decision by himself. So he called the other senior devotees. At that time in Vrindavan, there were many senior leaders of ISKCON present. So he called them to Prabhupada's bedroom. Actually, Prabhupada was sleeping those days in his darshan room. Prabhupada's bedroom was in the corner of that quarters. So he called them and he explained the situation, what Damodar Prasad said, whether to use catheter or not. And he also explained that Srila Prabhupada didn't want anything to pierce his body. And so everybody agreed that we should not use catheter. So it was informed to the leading devotees what may happen. And usually, very few devotees were allowed into Prabhupada's room. Very rarely, Prabhupada's room was open to all. But this time, Prabhupada's room was open to all. And from morning till evening, a beautiful kirtan was going on. Like devotees were chanting in such a... I think that was the most profound kirtan I ever heard. And also I recalled later on, that from that time onwards, from 5 o'clock, practically from 5 o'clock in the morning till about 7:30, I was just standing by Srila Prabhupada's bed. Sometimes Prabhupada would open his mouth and I would give him some Jamuna water. And many devotees came. Some of Prabhupada's godbrothers also came. Krishnadas Babaji Maharaj was there, sitting by his bedside. Prabhupada's sister Pishima was there. She was also sitting there. From time to time, Srila Prabhupada would open his mouth and I would pour some water. And Babaji Maharaj pointed out that, see, he's still chanting. And I could see that when Prabhupada opened his mouth, his tongue was vibrating softly. It was not audible, but we could see that Srila Prabhupada was chanting. That's Babaji Maharaj pointed that out to us. Then it went on for the whole day, like devotees were chanting. Many of us did not move out of that room. We stood where we were. And I don't know how the time passed. We didn't have any awareness of the outside world. All of us were completely focused onto Srila Prabhupada's lotus feet. And then at about 7:24, Damodar Prasad told that Damodar Prasad, this doctor, also was there by Prabhupada's bedside, and he said, Prabhupada left. I couldn't believe that Srila Prabhupada could leave us. So I said, no, please check carefully. Just to satisfy me, he just put the stethoscope and he looked at me. Then he also, to reassure us, he took some cotton wool, placed it in front of Srila Prabhupada's nose, and you could see that the cotton wool didn't move. Everybody could understand what may have happened. Devotees started to chant very loudly. It was a different kind of loudness. It is as if the sound of cry that was going on while they were chanting the holy name. Prabhupada's sister Pishima, she was there sitting just next to Prabhupada's bed. And all of a sudden, tears just came streaming down her eyes. It appeared like as if a water pot just broke and the water came rushing down. The devotees started to cry and at the same time chant. That night, Srila Prabhupada was taken to the temple room. He was placed on his vasasan. And throughout the night, devotees chanted in front of Srila Prabhupada. Next morning, Srila Prabhupada was taken to all the temples. Actually, we were not very well informed or well conversant with the Vaishnava culture so much in those days. So when the news spread that Srila Prabhupada left and we were arranging to put Prabhupada into Samadhi, then some of the Goswamis of different temples came and he said that you can't do that without taking him to all the temples in Vrindavan. So then the arrangement was made that we would take Srila Prabhupada out on a procession. So Prabhupada went and visited all the important temples of Vrindavan and to have his darshan of the deities there. Then he came back to Krishna Balaram temple and then he entered into his samadhi. This also reminds me one incident. One day when I served Srila Prabhupada his prasad one afternoon, the Prabhupada said, you can see that I can't eat. Why do you cook? You have so many other things to do. There is no need to cook for me anymore. So I told Prabhupada, Prabhupada, I cook with a hope, with an expectation that someday you may get your appetite and want to eat something. Prabhupada said, I will get my appetite only when I leave this body. These words of Srila Prabhupada came with such a shock, I just broke down. And Srila Prabhupada said, is this what you learned from me? Didn't I tell you that we all are eternal and our relationship is eternal? Often I recall that statement of Srila Prabhupada and with a great conviction I feel that if I remain loyal to him, if I continue to serve him with all sincerity, then someday I'll be able to be with him once again. Srila Prabhupada is still there, only we are not able to see him with our physical eyes. Someday if we can develop our spiritual vision, then we'll be able to see Srila Prabhupada there, waiting for us to go back to him. Jagat Guru Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Shrimati Bhakti Vedanta Swami Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunnavadi Paschatta Deshatari.